Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 32 on January 21st, 2013. The first news that I have for you is that I've scheduled some more pegging classes. Yahoo! I'm excited about this. They will be held in Ventura, California, and the date is Saturday, February 16th, which is coming right up, everybody. We kind of did a spur-of-the-moment thing. There's a local toy store owner here of Kama Sutra Closet. Her name is Roy Lynn Downs. She has an amazing toy store. If you've never been there, I would highly recommend it. And we want to do these pegging classes more regularly, at least twice a year and maybe even quarterly. So you'll be seeing more notices about that. And for all of you people who are not anywhere near where we are here in California, I'm still working on trying to get these classes on a like an internet televised thing, either live or something that you can download and watch. It's always better live because then we've got the interaction and I can answer your questions, but all that's in the works. It just is taking a while to get all this going. Nonetheless, I will once again be teaching two classes on Saturday, February 16th. And it's kind of the basic stuff, but it's also not the basic stuff. I'm teaching two classes. And the first class I've changed a little bit. Usually I teach things about the psychology of pegging and how to convince your partner to try it and how to be safe and how to be clean and stuff like that. But recently, as you have heard with these podcasts, it's come to my attention that there's far too many people out there who they become so inspired with the lovely idea of pegging that they rush through the period of time between concept and reality. And really, it needs to be a slow movement through there for so many reasons, for so many really, really good reasons that I outlined in the last podcast. So that's part of what I'm going to be teaching in the class. So this class is perfect for singles and couples who are interested in exploring strap-on sex, and it's especially good for couples who are relative newcomers to anal play in general, because it's kind of like, okay, you've decided you're interested in pegging, so now what? And it will help you to successfully navigate the period of time between deciding to explore it and then the moment it happens. It can make a really significant difference in the enjoyment of the act itself for both of you. Because there's a lot to be experienced and a lot to learn before she actually straps one on. So come and check it out and learn about really specific sort of pre-pegging erotic explorations and adventures that will really enhance your experience. And, you know, basically pave the way for a better first session of strap-on play. That is going to take place from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Then we're going to have half an hour break. And from 7 to 8:30, it'll be the advanced class. And this is the class for the couples who have done pegging a time or two or maybe more. And now you have questions. And we are going to go over in depth all the choices of toys and the harnesses and techniques and which works best for you and your body. And we're going to talk about orgasms, his and hers, the preparation and the foreplay, which lube, and, you know, the psychology of it, the role reversal positions. And I'm going to add something at the end of it that I think is going to be really fun. We're going to talk about our favorite things to say, you know, like you got dirty talk. What's your favorite thing to say when you're getting pegged or when you are pegging your guy? I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And even if nobody contributes, I have a number of them, so I'll be reading them. Once again, there'll be no live demonstrations. That's not my deal. And if I change that, I'll let you know. The price for one class, either one of them, is $25, and you can attend both of them for $35. Space is limited, so to reserve your spot, you need to click on the link on my podcast on the blog posting about it, but the link is not there yet, and I apologize for that. It will be there very, very soon. So that's the information about my classes. And tonight, I don't even know what to call it. It's past the wee hours of the morning, and I'm kind of pulling an all-nighter here. I got so into writing up the information for this podcast that, oh, and I forgot to turn down my phone too. I'm sure everybody heard that little knock. So anyway, I didn't really have anything planned. I had this lovely long holiday weekend and realized at about, I don't know, 8 o'clock tonight, oh, yeah, podcast. And I'd thought about it several other times as the days had gotten closer, but actually hadn't even thought about it until late afternoon, or early evening, actually. So it took me, I don't know, I dove into a really interesting subject here, and I like to be thorough. I like to get it all out. I like to get it down and give you the whole story. And in this case, I think it's going to be really, really interesting for you. So far with my blog and my podcast, I have spent a fair amount of time talking about how pegging does not need to be connected to or performed with any particular kind of kink, that it can be absolutely just a loving, sensual pegging experience with nothing other than the strap-on and the inherent role reversal at play between the couple. I do that a lot. I emphasize that a lot because pegging porn gives a complete opposite message, and it scares a lot of people off. And I would love for pegging to appeal to as many different types of people as possible, kinky, not kinky, all of you. But at the same time, I'm all about equality here, if you hadn't noticed. And I really like to practice and support acceptance of everyone and your preferences and my preferences and everybody. I've spent a fair amount of time not being careful not to overwhelm those of you who are less kinky or not kinky. And it's funny because if you can actually say that someone who is into pegging is not kinky, that's kind of humorous. I suppose it's all a matter of perspective. But mostly I've really only been letting my kink out in my erotic stories. So this podcast, I'm going to talk about kink, and I'm going to talk about a few other things too. I am going to talk about what I like, what I know about, what I want, what I think I want, and I'm not sure, and all that stuff in the kink world. And I'm also going to talk about how my experience of when things are kind of turned on their head and they challenge your assumptions. And when that happens in a really good way that allows you to grow and embrace who you really are and what you really want, but also it happens in a way that encourages even more of that acceptance of everyone and the realization of how different we all really are. So if you really don't want to hear about my kinky side, you just mark your calendar for my class on February 16th, and you can stop listening now, because I am going to dive in. So here's my story. After I put up my blog and my erotica stories, I put those out there, I started also actively exploring the actual experience of pegging. And one day, I came across a link to FetLife.com. You guys have heard me talk about that website a fair amount. I found a link to it on someone's blog that I was discovering and perusing. And I decided to explore it. So I signed up and I began to take a look around. And quite honestly, I was totally blown away. I was simultaneously sometimes repulsed and fascinated. I was at times horrified, and I was at other times turned on beyond belief. I was a total kink newbie, is what I was. There were pictures that people had as profile pictures that I couldn't even stand to look at, and so they would send me friendship requests, and I would reject them because I couldn't handle looking at their profile pictures coming through my feed. Like the guy that had rows of needles in his back with a lovely ribbon tied around them all. I saw that and I just couldn't look at it, and it pushed at my boundaries of the live and let live attitude that I really try and keep while I'm walking around in the world. It was a real challenge. There are a lot of things that people are into. Some of them I will never, ever be into. But in that period of time, seeing all that for the first time, it was really hard for me to take in all at once. So I talked to a good friend of mine, a younger girlfriend, and she just kind of chuckled with amusement. And she said, you know, people like all kinds of things and it's all okay. And that's just what turns them on. Because, you know, pegging turns you on, and there's certainly a lot of people who think that's pretty strange. So everyone has their stuff. And as long as it's consensual and no one's getting hurt, it's all good. It's just what they like. So that ended up giving me a little bit of, I don't know, I sat back and thought about her words and tried to just take a deep breath about the whole thing. I measured my time on FetLife looking around at things, exposed myself sort of purposefully not to overwhelm. And since then, I've really had some occasions to have some of my assumptions about kink and that I had at that time really turned on their head. And that's one of the things I mentioned that I'm going to talk about when things get turned on their head, just delightfully so, and someone really challenges what your reality is. So here's my first example. The very first class I ever taught, I had a boyfriend at the time, and I made a conscious decision not to have him present. He offered to be there. He said, if you want me there, I am there. And he wanted to be supportive, and it was the very first class I ever taught. So I thought about what my teaching was going to be like. So I'd been practicing a lot. I'd been doing bike rides. And the bike ride I took, it was an hour in one direction and then an hour back home. And so I would practice it both directions. And I did it a lot, so I felt pretty confident that I had it down. And I knew that in that class, some of the things that I was going to be talking about were personal. I was actually going to be sharing some personal stories about things that he and I had done together. And I didn't want people to do the whole head swivel and I would say something and then they'd turn and they'd look at him because they knew he was my boyfriend. So I decided not to have him come. And we were having a light meal before the class started, and I was talking with all the people there. It was a nice social get-together meeting at the back end of a restaurant, so I couldn't bring any props or anything, but I could teach the class with any language I desired. And somebody asked me, I think, if I had a boyfriend, or I think maybe I mentioned him, and they said, well, why didn't you bring him? So I told them exactly what I just explained, how I didn't really want to have him sitting there and have people staring at him because it would be kind of embarrassing. And in that moment, this beautiful, bright-eyed woman said, oh, now see, that's the kind of thing I would love because I am all about humiliation. I'm hardwired for stuff like that. And it really kind of blew me away. She said it with such a sparkle in her eye and with such obvious delight, and it was so at odds with the picture that I had formed thus far of humiliation. Now, the picture that I'd gotten thus far was mainly from watching particularly bad pegging porn with women who were abusive physically as well as verbally. Yelling at the guys, calling them pieces of shit, you know, you get the picture. Humiliation to me meant degradation, name-calling, and above all of that was done with a real lack of intimacy because, you know, that's unfortunately what porn is the best at. In my mind, at least, that's front and center. It's what I see every time I watch professional porn, pretty much, is that there's no intimacy. Okay, so, but, all right, humiliation. But consider this as a contrast. Let's say a woman is pegging her man from behind, and she lays her body down against his back and puts her breasts up against him and puts her mouth really close to his ear, and she times with her thrusts, saying, "You're such a fucking slut." Now, even though those words might be the same as the pegging porn, it's, at least in my mind, completely transformed from a detached negative experience to a really hot intimate exchange that maybe reinforces his vulnerability, and maybe it's embarrassing because of what she's calling him, but in a way it's an exposing and an opening kind of embarrassing because it's true, he wants it bad. So, you know, see the difference? There's a huge difference. Are they both humiliation? I suppose. So here we are at this juncture once again in this recurring theme that I've had lately about labels. Once again, the label is the first small hint of information, and then you need to ask questions. So here in this podcast, we're once again talking about labels, and this time we're talking about kinky ones. So am I into humiliation? I don't know. I think I kind of am, but I rebel against the word because I still have connections to it. And I actually can't bring myself to remove the paragraph from my profile on FetLife that states unequivocally that I am not into humiliation or degradation. Now, is that technically true? Well, I suppose it depends on one's definition of humiliation. Let's see, would I take off my panties in a restaurant and hand them to my date and tell him to go put them on in the men's restroom? Just like in one of my stories? Oh, absolutely I would. Would that be somewhat humiliating? I think it would be more embarrassing than humiliating because no one would know but me, but it would certainly feel humiliating from my, you know, in other words, he would feel humiliated in front of me, but no one else would know. And I don't want to dissect this too much, but, you know, let's try another scenario. Would I direct a man to go to a lingerie store to buy me a new pair of panties and give the saleswoman my height and weight measurements, and then after selecting the panties, ask her if they would fit him too? Absolutely, I would. I've done that one. Sadly, this man didn't follow through. He was supposed to send them to me. Would I tie a man to a St. Andrew's cross and in front of a bunch of people use a riding crop on his lovely ass until it was hot and red, and then use ice to cool him down and a few pieces of ice finding their way into his ass? Sure, been there, done that one. Would I consider fucking him in front of all those people until he came? Yes, that's something I haven't done. And that would be allowing all of those people to see him at his most vulnerable. Is that humiliating? Sure, I suppose it could be. So see, all of those have their potential element of humiliation. I guess I'm still just trying to let go of my distaste and my negative connotation with the word. And that is, you know, the turning around inside me started in that moment when that woman, now my friend, said, "Ooh, I would love that," about the humiliation. And she was practically squirming in her chair. It really made me sit up and take notice. So I have a similar relationship with the word sadist. I have explored impact play, as it's called amongst the kinky people, and I found some things out. I found out that while the idea of spanking is awesome, I don't like it because my hands don't hold up too well to it as much as I enjoy the process. So I don't mind watching it, but I don't really like to do it to someone myself. Flogging is okay. It's fun. I do own a flogger that was a gift from a generous friend. It's made out of elk skin. I enjoy giving and receiving flogging, although flogging is a little bit more like a massage than other types of more pointed play that are a little bit more painful. In the arena of impact play, my tool of choice turned out to be a riding crop. It was like once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down. I own several now. I enjoy the whippiness of it, that just a flick of the wrist can get good action out of, and stings and good impact. In fact, I played with one often enough that I find that I know the feel of a well-balanced one, and that kind of blew me away. Somebody had brought a nice collection one time, and I checked them all out, and as soon as I picked them up, I knew whether or not they'd be good to use for me or not. It might have been different for another person. For me, a riding crop needs to be long enough and flexible enough to have some whip to it, but still offer enough rigidity so that the control is there. Because if it's too whippy, not only is the control is there, but you can't get enough force out of it with a flick of your wrist. And there needs to be enough of a flap of leather on the end of it to give it some authority, if you will. Other types of impact play I enjoy are wooden paddles. I like having a man stretched out over my lap. Leather straps are nice. So, okay, there's probably some humiliation as well at being paddled while stretched over someone's lap. Certainly there is. And there's some sadism there, too. That was a real trip when someone on one of the comment threads said, "Welcome to the world of sadism." And that's another one I had to sleep on. Goodness sakes, that was wild. When I first encountered that, when someone said that in relationship to me. So I found out about my interest in impact play and spanking because I came across a website with amateur spanking clips, and I started exploring it. And basically, this was during a time when I was sort of mellowing out about the whole FetLife cornucopia of kink, and I really wanted to discover exactly what, besides pegging, really turned me on. So I would just go exploring sometimes on the internet. And goodness knows, you can find anything you want on the internet. So, yeah, that spanking website, I was still there like 3 hours later, and I had gotten myself off twice. So, yeah, I went to bed that night and had to sleep on that realization that I, not just the I like spanking part, the I get turned on hitting people part, which is a bizarre thing to even put into words and feels really exposing and vulnerable in an odd way to put say it out loud on my podcast. But this is the Kink Podcast, and this is what I told you I was going to do. So here I am. This is who Ruby is. You know, it brought me back to the word sadist. And my early explorations with impact play were awkward. I think many people's are, and they were a little out of control. I left a couple of unintentional marks. Nowadays, any marks I leave are quite intentional, and I know so much more about what I'm doing. But I'm continually learning, too, and it's actually a really exciting process. I still remain kind of blown away and floored how excited it makes me, how wet it gets me, how much it turns me on to have a man squirming on my lap while I make sure he'll remember that moment the next day every time he sits down. So am I a sadist? Sure. Am I comfortable with the word? No. I am much, much more comfortable with the riding crop. Thank you very much. Coming out with your kinks can be an intense experience. You know, pegging was the first thing that I had to come out with, and it took me way, way, way too long. And when I taught that first class way back when, I taught it to a BDSM crowd mainly because I had approached another local toy store owner, not Kama Sutra Closet, and she wouldn't host my class. She told me, "I don't think I've got your demographic." And I asked her, "Well, do you sell the Bend Over Boyfriend beginner kits?" And she said, "Yeah, I could hardly keep them on the shelf." And I said, "So what's the problem?" And she just said, "I don't think I have your demographic, but I have someone for you to meet." So she introduced me to the BDSM crowd. And so there I was with all these kinky people. And that's actually how I thought of them. You know, as if I wasn't kinky, I'm the one walking in there talking about pegging, which actually was a bit shocking for some of them. Now, many of them are my good friends. And as far as I'm concerned, there's no better place to talk about sex than with kinky people. They are so much better at communicating about sex than non-kinky people. And here's why. Think about it. Most couples have sex. This is sad but true. Most couples have sex, and they don't really talk about it a lot. They don't many times talk about it at all. It's not that they don't have fun sex or good sex even, but they don't talk about it until something goes wrong. And then hopefully they talk about it if they want to work something out. But see, kinky people have to talk about sex from the beginning because, for example, there are many different definitions of what someone means when they call themselves dominant. There are boundaries to be agreed upon and consensual agreements to be reached. And none of that is really necessary for vanilla sex. I mean, you don't hear vanilla couples going, okay, so like, what's your definition of the word intercourse? I mean, how does that look to you? What are your boundaries around that? But there's a vast difference between the picture I painted of that pegging porn bitch character and me. And people need to know what they're signing up for going in with the kink. So kinky people talk and listen, and they learn to communicate about sex pretty well for the most part. And that's what I love about meetings of groups of kinky people, is that you can be talking about sex 5 minutes after you meet someone for the first time. I love that, and I find it so relaxed and ultimately refreshing compared to the usual sort of sex-negative attitudes that surround us, where everything must be hidden and not talked about, and somehow the feeling of all that ends up being that it's dirty or wrong, and if someone happens to mention something as ridiculous or verboten as masturbation, there's a silence in the room. And that whole feeling of it being wrong and dirty, it is so not. It is so not. It's not wrong and dirty. It's hot and sticky and lustful and wonderful and exciting. That's what I think it is. And intimate and so many other amazing, amazing things. But it's not wrong and dirty. That's for damn sure. So here is another way my assumptions about things were challenged in the kink world. You know, once I'd kind of gotten into my groove a little bit, I'm a big proponent of intimacy. You hear me talk about it a lot. It's what I enjoy. It's what I think makes for good sex. It's what I think makes for good pegging. It kind of cranks up any physical encounter more than a few notches for me. And I believe it's an integral part of the best pegging experiences. That's just what I think. So I talk about why it's hard to find a woman for pegging because it's such an intimate act. And this whole intimacy idea, I was challenged that. One man challenged that idea and said he, personally, didn't want any kind of intimacy with his pegging, thank you very much. He wanted to be treated like a thing to be used. He wanted to be fucked without a thought of care or concern for his wants or needs, and he actually said that for the dominant woman he was with, to allow intimacy between them would actually lower his esteem and respect for her as a dominant. And this was all put forth on a discussion thread, and a few other men chimed in and said that they felt the same. So this was no anomaly. There's definitely a group of men out there that feel that way about pegging, and that was their turn on, was to be treated that way. So one more time, I realized that I needed to be respectful of their type of turn on, just like they were respectful of mine, no matter what I couldn't relate to. And it was an eye opener. It absolutely was. So things like this keep happening, much to my delight. One of the later ones was, I'm also big on lube. I think it's a rather cruel and unusual thing to try and fuck somebody in the ass without lube. However, every time this subject comes up, not every time, almost every time, in the threads on Reddit, what ends up happening is someone will chime in and say, hey, you know, some of us really don't use lube, and it works out fine. And so I started questioning these guys with, they're not always guys, sometimes they're women, with respect, with, you know, an inquiring mind because I want to learn why it works for them, and I want to learn how it is, because that I would never ever picture that that would work, but it does for some people. This particular guy who spoke up recently was male on male, so he it's two guys. And sometimes I think in that situation that if you have enough pre-cum that it's fine. Other times I think if it's a guy on a woman, that if he is in her vagina first, then he's wet enough to maybe do anal without too much trouble. And of course, one of the factors is how relaxed the receiver is. So those all taken into consideration are partly that. You know, I was still so militant about it. And then someone finally said, you know, some of us like the friction. Some of us like how it feels with no lube. And this man particularly, the latest one said, yeah, my boyfriend hates lube. We both do. And so one more time, not everybody needs to use lube for anal sex. The vast majority of people do. And if anybody's listening out there and they're going to try anal sex, either with a woman receiving or pegging, which is what this whole website, podcast, blog is about, please use lube. Don't think that maybe you can get away without it. And especially don't think that you can get away without it because you've seen it on porn, because porn is unrealistic. Porn, they're very well lubed, and they've also taken muscle relaxers. So they're all about making things look different than they really are in reality. If you start off thinking maybe you can get away without using lube, it's quite possible that the receiver is going to be in a fair amount of discomfort and pain even. And you don't want to do that to somebody first time. If you play around with lube for a while and then decide to try it without it, great, it's different. But trying to just shove something in there without lube the very first time is not advisable. So there I went off on my rant. You can see how strongly I feel about this. And there are people out there who don't use it. It blows my mind. So now, here's another really interesting subject that's kinky, not in the BDSM so much, but let's talk about the subject of bisexuality. I have recently intentionally made space for bisexual people here at Pegging Paradise after I realized that with all of my emphasis on the no, he's not gay if he likes pegging, I was really doing the bisexual guys who enjoy pegging a disservice. So, okay, how does that relate to me? I have always had a fantasy of a threesome with two men, and specifically two men who were into each other as much as me. So, you know, like some women, I don't know if I can say many women, I enjoy watching gay porn. I love it. Homoerotic situations are a huge turn on for me. Sometimes I think I like it because I can see those facial expressions of vulnerability on the men that are receiving. And that's like crack to me. I love that look of utter vulnerability and receptiveness and intensity. Like they're so blown away with how open and vulnerable they are in that moment when they're being penetrated. I love that. Love, love, love it. When I'm doing it or when I'm watching porn, and gay porn has a lot of that, so it's totally awesome. So I made the step today, no less, of putting women who like bisexual men on my list at FetLife of things I'm interested in. Because, you know, here's how I look at it. This is really no time to continue to hide things away and wait until the right time comes along to bring it out, to roll it out. You know, like what? Like I did when I waited 3 decades to create this website and write my stories and my blog and now this podcast? No, I think not. And what label does that add to my stack? Well, I don't think there's a one-word thing that describes that other than women who like bisexual men, but I don't know. I'm just going to put that wish under my pillow and maybe if it percolates long enough, the Easter Bunny will bring me what I wish for or something. So that's kind of my kink story, and that's about as far as I've gone in most areas in the kink world without getting too detailed. I hope the details that I gave you, you enjoyed. And after all that, can you really see how looking on a vanilla dating site was perhaps a stretch for whatever man was interested in me? Because it's not just the reveal about the pegging. It's all those other labels that would just keep rolling in with all of their connotations, not the least of which, potentially, is pegging. So yeah, poor guys. I mean, I'm sure that there's some lovely men out there that are just waiting to be corrupted with kink in the nicest of ways, because they too perhaps have been dreaming of something like this for decades. But if not, it's a pretty steep learning curve and a pretty steep acceptance curve. Ah well. So speaking of that, I'm actually taking a break from dating for a while, and I'm concentrating on my writing. I'm working on 2 books for you all that I hope to have done by the end of this year. So I'm going to spend my time writing, as opposed to feeling like I look back on my week and see too many wasted hours on the internet looking at dating profiles. If a man's meant to show up in my life, it'll happen when it happens. And whoever he is, he'll have to be able to hear those labels that I rolled out for you all today and be more interested in asking more questions, accept them for that first little bit of information, and then ask more questions. And ideally, he'll be a bit bisexual too. So, all right. I'm going to take a deep breath and actually post this, even though it feels really revealing, but I hope you all enjoy it. And have a lovely week. Please don't forget to reserve spaces for that class early if you do want to attend, because space is limited on February the 16th, Saturday, at Kama Sutra Closet in Ventura, California. The link to Kama Sutra Closet should be there, should be live very soon, and I really hope to see you there. You can follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_writer. I have a Facebook profile and a page. Then you can like that page if you want to. You can subscribe to my blog as well. And my podcast is now accessible on iTunes as well as on my blog directly. Please send your questions and stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com. And send me some pegging success stories, because I want to play that music and dance again, you guys. Somebody on Reddit, I'll leave you with this. This is so cute. Somebody on Reddit wrote and was celebrating in the Reddit pegging group that he'd had the courage to tell his wife that's what he wanted. And she was so accepting of it, and he was in a celebratory mood that, like, yay, I told her, and now we get to figure it all out and do it. And so I just put something very simple like, yay, I'm doing the pegging dance for you. And the happy pegging dance. And some guy wrote, well, we're going to have to show us what that looks like. You know, send us a little video clip or something. And I told him, you know, when I'm able to make the dildo spin around in a circle, you don't get to see it until I'm able to do that. Oh, my goodness. That, and I actually had a moment of thinking, you know, is that what's next in Las Vegas? The chorus line of women wearing strap-ons. You know, that sounds like an interesting movie to me. Or an interesting Vegas show. So, after all that, thanks for downloading and listening, everybody. Have a wonderful week. And as always, happy pegging.